so thankful for a day like this. To remember the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that because of what He has done, we are able to have a connection and a relationship with the Almighty Father. Father, we know that salvation is found in no one else except Jesus. And we're so thankful to be called your children. We pray today that all over the world and all over this nation, that people will give some time in their hearts to worship and to really connect and to ask the questions of who you really are. Father, we pray that you help our secular nation to know that there is a greater power, a bigger power in Jesus Christ and His Father, the Creator of the universe. Father, I pray you continue to fill this nation with the aroma of Christ. That you fill our lives and our homes and our workplaces with the aroma of Christ. Father, thank you so much for resurrection power. Father, we know that people talk about all kinds of power, but this is the real power. The power that raises our sinful lives from the dead, that we can walk in newness of you. Father, please be with us today. Thank you so much for Jesus, who died for us when we had no hope, when we had no life, and when we had no faith. We pray that you be with all of us today. Be with me as I speak. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Just do want to say happy Easter to every single one of you. We know that sometimes these things get very secularized, but it's all great to see you here. I do want to just say a special welcome to a couple visiting with us from the Birmingham Church, and that is Warner and Kay Baker. I do want to just say welcome. Thank you so much for being here with us. We were all single back then in West London. Let's say those were the good old 80s. Oh, don't say that. Juan and I were roommates, and fantastic. Great to have you here, and definitely praying for you. Thank you so much. You know, but today is Easter. Isn't that right? I got to tell you, let me just make a confession right here. All right, you want to know? You know, when you say you want to know, there's something within me that says, I don't want to let them know. But I'll tell you, you know. We've been going through a series on the book of James. And today I was supposed to speak on James chapter 2, the latter part there on no favorites. And then, you know, I thought, okay. And then I started to hear some voices. Or, no, not voices. You know, when you hear voices, that's scary. You don't want to be hearing voices. You know, different people saying, okay, it's Easter, do you understand? We've got to pray. You know, you've got to preach something about the resurrection and the crucifixion. And for me personally, do you understand? My own personal opinion, we celebrate the cross every single day of our lives. So I didn't want to just big up Easter. Hey, man, it's okay. You know, it's okay to have an Easter message. That's okay. So today I'm going to be preaching an Easter message on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? So, and even on stage while we were having a pre-service meeting, I was kind of thinking, you know, Easter there. And then John said, you know, we celebrate Mother's Day, we celebrate Christmas. And I said, some people don't celebrate Christmas. And we had a little talk on the stage. Okay, here we go again. All right, here we go. Here we are right now. Easter, isn't that right? You know, each holiday has a message. You know, when you look at the country right here, the United Kingdom, there are so many just the holidays that people celebrate here. The Queen's birthday. You understand? For some of us, we celebrate that at work. Some of us, we don't get it because you're not civil servants. Sorry. That's okay. You know, in some countries, they celebrate Memorial Day because they want to celebrate just the patriotism of some of the soldiers who have died. They want to celebrate that. You know, the message of Mother's Day is Mom. The message of Father's Day is Dad. The message of Christmas is the birth of Christ. And then what do we say? Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't we say that? And yet we know the message of Good Friday is that we know that Christ died for our sins and our rights. God made Him who had no sin to become a sin offering for us, so that in Him we might become what? The righteousness of God. So we celebrate that again. And yet today, as we celebrate Easter, I really believe it's a holiday the secular world has given us. Really, Easter is a pagan holiday. We celebrate it as the day when Jesus resurrected from the dead. Some of these holidays that we celebrate have their origins in pagan festivals. when you do your research. Absolutely. But we just celebrate that. But it's good because we spiritualize it. We do. That's okay. I know Malika was up on stage and saying, well, it's a good way to reach out to people who go to church probably 3 times a year. You know, so is it 3 times a year they go to church? Easter, Christmas, probably twice. Okay, is it twice? Twice a year. So it's okay just to reach out to them. And yet today, you know, it's given us Easter. You know, today what do you see in the shops? Easter bunny. That's what you see. Easter sweets or candy. Easter rabbits. Easter dinner. For most of us today, we're going to go and have an Easter lunch. Did I hear that? Did I hear that, Davis? Is it prepared already? We hear about Easter. Do you understand? It's all good. You know, Easter also, hot cross buns. I used to be addicted to hot cross buns. But I got to tell you, in the past 9 months, I've only had probably like 7 hot cross buns. That's a victory. Amen. That's a victory. The last one I had, well, I had a quarter at the family group in Abbeywood. Was it a quarter or a half? Amen. Hot cross, but it all comes out, you understand? You're enjoying yourself everywhere. Hot cross. But honestly, today we celebrate something bigger than the Easter bunny. Something bigger than the Easter candy. The world goes all over. Bourneville, you know, all of these big chocolates that the kids just guard themselves and even some of the adults in their rooms. Let's not even go there. Let me tell you something. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate. That is what we celebrate here today. In John 11, let's all go there. John 11. John 11. Now, I'm very aware today that for some of us, with high technology, we've got these timers on our ovens. Probably the roast is in there. I don't know what you're cooking. So I'm going to keep the message fairly short today so you can go home for your Easter lunch. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Okay. Somebody said thank you. Okay. John 11, verse 17. Are we all there? Bible reads right here. On arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, we know that Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha from Bethany. Jesus was very close with his family. And then he says right here, at this time, Lazarus had died. And so he says in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Can you imagine, guys? 4 days in the tomb, dead. Dead in the tomb. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So there's some blame shifting here. You understand? Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I know we watch a lot of movies. Is it the Terminator, the Rise of the, what do you call it? Rise of the, machines. Amen, we're not talking about that now. Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You hear Martha's answer right here. She was looking forward to a future resurrection. It was very secular or physical in her mind. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, one of the things that, you know, we normally use this scripture for our funerals, services that we do. I use them most of the time. When disciples have died in the Lord, we use that. Because, you know, as disciples of Jesus Christ, when you die, you understand, this just goes, you understand. It's a physical death. But we pass on spiritually because we're right with God. And so, Jesus is saying right here, I am the resurrection and the life. You believes in me will live even though he dies. Do you all believe that today? That, you know, when you die physically, you're still living because you have the Spirit of God in you. And he says, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Very, very good, you know. But today I'm just entitled my message today, I am the resurrection and the life. A lot of times, you know, we can talk about the cross. And we've heard many mentions about the cross. But today I want to talk about resurrection. The power of the resurrection. What the resurrection does to us in our lives. And why we sit here today. You know, one of the greatest things that we see around everybody today is that we place so much attachment to the body, to our physical body. When Martha replied, she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was expecting a resurrection in the future. Jesus promised eternal life now. Now. He says you can have it now. Point number one, I am the resurrection. You know, Jesus in the Bible predicted his death and his resurrection so many times. In Mark 8 verse 31, write this down as a reference. The Bible says he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Here is the I am who is saying I am the resurrection. He's saying I am here, you know what? Hey, I'm going to die but I'm going to be raised again on the third day. You know, one of the claims today that I want to tell you today. If you look at religion in the world per se, no one has ever said I am the way, the truth and the life. Nobody. No religious leader has ever said, I am the true vine. Nobody has ever said, I am the bread of life. Nobody has ever said, I am the door. Nobody has ever said, I am the good shepherd. Nobody has ever said, I am the light of the world. Only Jesus has made claims to this. You know what, guys? We have got something special to know. That the world, you know, I am. A lot of people say, well, I am here, I am here. You know, on Judgment Day, everybody gathered together. And then there was Jesus coming up from the skies with the archangels. And there were many religious people on the ground expecting to see Buddha coming from the skies. But it wasn't Buddha. They were expecting to see Muhammad come from the skies. Oh, but we thought it was him. No. Because none of them have ever said, I'm the light, I'm the door. I'm the true vine. Only Jesus has claims to that. So guys, what we are part of is great. What we are part of is real. And I pray today that for some of us, you know, who are kind of toying with the idea, do I get committed? Get to know who this Jesus is. You know, in the New Testament, there are many, many examples of people, you understand, who Jesus actually raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter. When he came in, people were complaining and saying, oh, she's what? Oh, she's asleep. Leave her alone. Oh, she's dead. Jesus said, no, leave her alone. She's only asleep. I don't know about your life today. I don't know what is dead in your life today. If Jesus can resurrect from there, he can resurrect any situation in your life if you allow him to. You understand what I'm saying right here, guys? You might be saying, well, over the years, I've been a Christian all these years. I've got these character sins. I've got these habits, selfishness, deceit, lying, uncommitment. Jesus can change that because resurrection is powerful. Guys, we've got power. But sometimes we don't use it. Widow of Nain, in the midst of a funeral process, as they are walking there, what happens? The young man, isn't that right? Jesus says, rise. And there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of crying. Hey, raises that boy from the dead. Lazarus, right here, having been dead for 4 days. Guys, can you imagine? A body lying there for 4 days. Now, I don't know whether they had some embalmment ointment right there, but that body must have been stinking. It must have been smelling. I got to tell you guys, freaked me on out. I tell you, I was freaked out. The day when I went back to Nigeria to pick up my dad's body on the day of the burial. It freaked me out. I couldn't even spend probably 1 or 2 minutes, do you understand? I looked at that body, I checked out. I checked out, man. I was full of emotion. I looked at it, I could not even stand it. And I thought, you know, I looked at it, I said, oh man, I was out of there. I was out of there. I just couldn't stand it. Man. You know what? In the Old Testament, Elijah also stretched himself on the child 3 times. This was the widow's oil. And we see resurrections. See, these are all kinds of resurrections. But you know, but honestly, when you look at some of these things that we call resurrections in the New Testament, I call them resuscitations. Because, you know, I tell you, when you resurrect, there's a change that happens with you. These people are healed physically, but from the inside, they were still the same. You know, you see about Elisha stretching himself on the child. you know, Elijah stretched himself on the widow's son 3 times. Okay, Elisha even went further with the Shunammite woman's son who was dead. What did he do? It was mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and hands to hands. Man, come on guys, you know, mouth to mouth resuscitation. If you had a heart attack, God forbid, or you were sick, you understand? And lo and behold, there was a brother or sister around, sister to sister, not brother to sister, amen. You all understand what I'm saying about. And then somebody says, brother, let me give you some mouth to mouth resuscitation, hand to hand, eyes to eyes, you understand? Man, you're going to be thinking, man, get me out of here. But that's what he did, to revive these people. But you know, we ask ourselves a question this morning, why the resurrection? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why the resurrection? Why the resurrection? 1 Corinthians 15. There are many, many theories. I didn't want to go into that today. People said the body was swooned. Matthew 28, it says the guards, they decided to tell a lie. And it says up till today, that rumor spreads all over the world. That the body was stolen. No, it can't. Because we feel the impact. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1, Bible reads. Are we there? It reads, it says, now brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. You know, right here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives 3 proofs about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what was Paul doing here? Paul was encouraging the church. Because the Greeks in that time did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in it. And so Paul right here is going back and saying, man, look, let me encourage you guys. You are doing well. You've taken a stand on the gospel. Let me ask you a question here. How would you feel? You've been a disciple for 15 years. 16 years you've been in the church. 25 years. I think 27 years. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up to you and says, every single thing you are doing was a lie. How would you feel? How would you feel? Huh? You would feel betrayed. Okay? Anybody else? How would you feel? Disappointed. You ask why. Okay? Let down. Deceived and misled. Now, let me ask a question again. Why do we do the things that we do today? Why do we do them? So the Bible tells. So there's some truth that we believe that the Bible is real. That's why we do it. All right. Anybody else? Why do we do things with it? Same. Because we believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Because we believe and walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, guys. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians towards the end there. It says if we do you understand? If all of this was a farce or a lie, we should be pitied more than all men. Man, this is, you know, this is real right here. And so Paul right here is encouraging proof number one, their salvation. Their salvation. Paul had come and he had preached the message of the gospel and their faith had transformed their lives. Why would Paul, a persecutor of the church, become so radical and become one of the most sold out guys for Jesus Christ? Why a transformation, the proof of their salvation. You know, secondly, the scriptures. It says right here, it says, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Number one, Jesus was what he died. Isn't that right? He was buried. He rose again. He was seen by how many people? So many people. Proof number 3, witnesses. Witnesses. I know, guys, When I look at this, this is even enough. First Corinthians 15, this hope is enough for me to say, okay, people have seen it. People witness to it. But above all today, we can see the changed lives. When I think about, people in the church, when we got baptized into Christ, our lives changed. And before people see the Bible, what they see is your life. What they see is your life. And that is the testimony and the power of the Holy Spirit. A changed life. Brothers and sisters, that is our testimony. That's what the Bible says. We've got to be, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That is, if people did not have the Bible, at least they can see something in you that mirrors the heart of Jesus. Proof of the scriptures. It was, sometimes people say, well, it was a hallucination. People talk about the Shroud of Turin and all this nonsense. There was a time, back in some countries, it's happening in Nigeria also, and some countries, South American countries, where they normally see kind of a, when you have damp in your house is rotting. You understand what I'm saying? What is happening is maybe, what do you call it? There's some subsidence in your house. Your house is going to, it's not good. It's not a good sign. So they get all of this damp, and then already in the church, people say, oh, that is an image of Jesus. And everybody gathered there, man, long lines just come and touch this. I'm kind of thinking, man, these guys are just out of order. That's an hallucination right there. Get back into the Word of God. The cloth of Jesus, the Shroud of Turin. That's also another big one. And people normally talk about, we go to Lord's because there's some special. I'm kind of thinking, guys, can we just keep it real right here and get back to the scriptures? For us this morning, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you must believe that every single person who repents and is baptized has a hope of heaven. Christ, Jesus came as a man, but he was a sinful man. If there is no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. Sinless. What did I say? Did I say sinful? You guys are very alert. Very, very good. That really encourages me this morning. Wow, you guys are alert, okay? You guys have not been eating hot cross buns. Okay, that's good. Amen. Amen. And people start to make it. See, that was a mistake. But if I wanted to make an excuse, I would say that was a slip of tongue. No, the tongue didn't slip. The brain was not engaged. Amen. Keep it real right here. Amen. Okay, thank you. See, we've got people right here. Brother, don't preach any false doctrine here. Amen. Oh, dear, they're on the alert. Well, that was false doctrine. See? Amen. And so what do we say? If Christ was not raised, there is no gospel to preach. If there is no gospel, then you have believed in vain and you're still in your sins. If there is no resurrection, then Christians who have died have no hope. And then we'll never see him again. We have no hope. What is the conclusion? Same question. Why be a Christian if we have only suffering in this life and no future glory to come? Why? Why do we do the things that we do? The reason why I do the things is because one day I know I'm going to be with my Father in heaven. That is the motivation. And brothers and sisters, heaven needs to be our motivation. The reason why we live is so that we can take people with us and so that heaven can be our motivation. There's some facts for us. Jesus is the resurrection. He's the only guy. Point number two, the power of his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, Paul writes about his life. In the world we live in today, there's so much power. Isn't that right? There is power that destroys and power that builds up. There is power that will drag you down and power that will lift up your heart and empower you to make some changes. In the world we live in today, we've got atomic power, nuclear power, thermochemical power, all kind of electromagnetic power. And when you think about the bomb that hit Nagasaki and Hiroshima, that was power that destroyed, that wrecked our nations and had a reverberating effect on generations to come. deformed children. Isn't that right? One little born where parents took in all of these chemicals, people got deformed, their children got deformed, and for generations to come right now, they're still mopping up the mess. But you know, when you talk about resurrection power, it's a positive power that has effect on generations upon generations upon generations because of Jesus and the transformation of life. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 10. Are we there? Look at what it says. Let's pick it up in verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here is the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, from the tribe of Benjamin, a very intelligent man. And he says, I consider all these things rubbish. Why? Why? Because the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ is the utmost thing. How is your relationship with God this morning? Do you want to know Christ? How is that going? Do you want to know Christ? Paul is saying here, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. Now, four things I want to talk about here quickly. Number one, the power of the resurrection. What do we see here? The power to have our sins forgiven. 1985, July. I had my sins forgiven. I don't know whether it was an instant of alien resurrection or alien died. The alien died. Isn't that right? We all have a side of us that needs to go, that needs to die. Do you understand? Now, when you see a dead body, can a dead body lost? No, we can't. So, the power for our sins to be forgiven, guys, how many of you know guilt is a very big thing that traps our minds? How many of us, you know, and sometimes even as Christians, we walk around with guilt, and God is saying, I have forgiven you. But Satan is always jabbing. You're no good. You're no this. Our sins, you know, when you're disciple, your sins have been forgiven. So, you walk with confidence. But sometimes, as Christians, you know what we do? We walk our face down. God is not good. This is not going well. And then we lack power. As Christians, we've got power. We've got to use that power. Not be prideful, but we've got to be positive. The other day, I was in a study. And I was encouraging the fellow I was studying the Bible with. And he was saying, you know, every single time I sin, I beat myself down. And I think I'm no good. And that's all of the thoughts. I'm no good. You know, I'm always sinning. I don't think I can get anything right. And then I said, you know what your problem is? You're not focusing on what is positive. You are focusing too much on the negative. When you focus on the negative, you don't change anything. You've got to focus on the power of Jesus to change us. And I think, how much more, brothers and sisters, if our attitude changes as a church, where all of us are thinking so positively, can you imagine the aroma of Christ and the power and the influence of what God can do in our lives? But one little thought, that's why Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, fix your minds on those things. That's what he says. You know, and so I praise God that July 25th, in 1985, that my sins were forgiven, and I praise God for that. Do you remember the day you were baptized? Okay, that didn't sound too well, but that's okay. Let's move on. We are changed people, isn't that right? Your sins were forgiven. I remember the baptism right there. Everybody's there, and you're kind of thinking, man, Lord, help me just to do what is right. You know, you're going there, Oak Park Christian Church, the Church of Christ in Chicago, going into the water. You're coming back out, and you're kind of thinking, hallelujah, this is it. But I've got to tell you, before I got baptized, one of my biggest nightmares was not to be knocked down by the Chicago Transit Authority bus. All this, I said, God, just keep me safe. Because, you know, once your heart gets caught, there's a fear, a holy fear that comes out and says, God, I want to get this right. Point number two, under the power to conquer sin. And we are conquerors. Isn't it great to be able to conquer something? I'm not talking about a pile of food. That's sometimes good. You understand? But to be able to conquer something that has been in your life ingrained for so many years, to be able to conquer a habit, to get rid of a habit and say, man, I conquered it. I conquered it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I conquered it. a character thing. But you see, resurrection power doesn't end with our forgiveness. It also empowers us to conquer sin in our lives. You know, Ephesians 4, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When you become a Christian, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says you are not a refurbished article. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You refurbish computers. You refurbish microwaves. No, nowadays, these things are so cheap that you just buy another one. You understand? You don't make them as you understand. You can refurbish your shoes, but we are not refurbished beings. We are not refurbished because sometimes what we tell ourselves, I am no good. I hear people say, oh, the day I got baptized, my whole life went downhill. I said, you got a problem with grace. Oh, yeah. I heard that comment, but I helped that brother, and we had a discussion about all sorts of things, including heaven and the love of God. But you see the mindset. Guys, to be honest with you, sometimes when you become a disciple, God puts challenges your way to refine your character. But you're still his child, isn't that right? And his own time, he'll refine your character. And so, you know, Paul is now saying, you know, guys, why do we keep on sinning? You know, the power is there. The power is within us to change these things. But you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, do you know the power that you have? Do you know the power that you have as a disciple? Do you know? Many of us are thinking, I am weak. Very weak. When people say, are you strong? I say, I'm weak. Because all of us are weak. You know how sometimes people normally say, how's your relationship with God? And we say, you know, okay, great. I don't say, you can put grace on those things. You understand? But only God knows. Only God knows. But guys, power. We've got so much going for us. That, you know, as I was looking through this, I was thinking, man, you know what? God has given us so much that sometimes I don't think enough about all this power that God has given me. And then I continue to act weak as if I'm still a slave to sin. And Satan tries to deceive us and saying, you know what? You're weak. You can't change this. But you know, power is great. The power is there for us. You know, there was an experiment. Do we all remember Pavlov's dogs? No. So some of us have done psychology already. Known as conditioning. Isn't that right? Pavlov's dogs. Okay, let me just tell you. Pavlov was this scientist from Eastern Europe. And he was a behavioral scientist. And what Pavlov did was he rang the bell. Before feeding the dogs, he was studying. You understand? So every single time he was going to feed the dogs, he would ring the bell. And every single time he rang the bell, the dogs would salivate. Isn't that right? They would salivate for the food. So he kept on doing that. Ringing the bell, and then they would salivate before they got the food. After a while, as soon as he rang the bell, even when the food wasn't there, the dogs would still salivate. They had not seen any food. They hadn't smelled any food. But ringing the bell made them salivate. You know what? What is the point here? I think sometimes, as disciples, as Christians, even visitors right here, because the power of God is not available, we become like these dogs. Isn't that right? The conditioning. Do you understand? That any single thing that happens to us, boom, what happens? We retaliate. Because we're not tapping into the power of God. And you see, living without the power of God, you know, we sometimes we can condition ourselves. Somebody hurts us, what do? We retaliate. Because we've conditioned ourselves to be that way. You know, something happens that tempts us sexually and our thoughts automatically turn to lust. We have got to use the power available to us to conquer sin in our lives. You know, when you look at the scriptures, God gives us the power to break those habits. But we must first know we have the power. You got to say yourself, I've got the power. I have the power. I know there are songs out there, but we've got the power. What's that? No, I'm not going to sing it. I don't know it. We've got the power, guys. And our attitude and our mindset, you understand? You've got the power to change yourself. Because you've got the scriptures and you've got the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We cannot be victims to the things happening around us. You know, not only do we have the power of the forgiveness of sins. Where are my notes here? The power to have our sins forgiven, the power to conquer sin, but also the power to be conformed to his likeness. You know, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm nearly done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When we talk about power here today, as a fellowship, we can have worldly power, isn't that right? Talent power, where we can go, you know, where we can go with our talents. Or it could be Holy Spirit power, a confidence that comes from Jesus. As I look around our fellowship here, we're a great bunch of people, isn't that right? Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. But we've got power. We've got some, you know, the thing that hurts me is when you come across people and they say, you know what, I can't have an impact in God's kingdom because I'm nobody. I'm not like Joe or Mulligan or Jide or me. I'm not like this. And then we start to compare. And you kind of think, but you got your Bible, got the Holy Spirit. Why make all these comparisons? And then it hurts our effectiveness. And then what happens is, we're around, but we're not really engaged. Because we've told ourselves, I cannot amount to anything. But God Almighty looks down on you and says, that's my child. Go in the strength you have. The 12 apostles in the Bible, apart from the apostle Paul, who was called later, was the most intelligent out of all of them. But these guys were fishermen. Unschooled, ordinary men that witnessed the power of Jesus and became something today that we emulate these guys. Peter, Matthew, all these guys. And you're kind of thinking, these are powerful men. But what makes a difference in our lives is the power of the cross. The power of the resurrection. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at what it says. Last scripture we look at today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I mean the last scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. Are we there? And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And right here, Paul was talking to the church in Christ about the glory of the new covenant. And he was talking about just the whole idea of, you know what, we are being renewed. We can become more like Jesus in every single thing that we do. Can you imagine what that means? Think of everything about yourself that you don't like. All the habits. What are some bad habits people have? What are some habits people have? Habits. I've had to get rid of some. I'm still reminded of some habits in my life. Yes. Vivian? Yeah? I saw Vivian there. Okay, Jim. Huh? Chewing their fingernails. Okay, those are some bad habits. What are some bad habits? Complaining. Is that a bad habit? Okay, fine. Is that a habit? Complaining. Thanks, Jack. Staying up late at night. Okay, wow. That's a teacher speaking there. Okay. Eating too much. Oh, brother, why do you have to bring that in there? Okay. What's the habit? Being negative. Wow. Not eating vegetables. Is that a bad habit? Okay. I don't know where that is going. I know it's going somewhere, but I'm just going to stay here and just preach the word. Okay. And you're like, wow. Spending too much time with the phone and the computer. I know some women, you know, some sisters in the church have said that their husbands, that they have a second wife. and the second wife is the computer and the mobile phone. And the iPad or the pad eye. Amen. Okay? Any other habits? Wow. Being short-tempered. Okay? That's a habit. Being quick to speak without listening. And I think Monaghan did a great job on Wednesday, because I know that's something I've got to change. You know, I walked away from there on Wednesday, but I'm still getting time with the single brothers yesterday, but I'm still thinking I'm talking too much. So, ish, that needs to change. No, it's a habit. Okay, let's just have to warn. Missing church. Hey, Hebrews 10. You know, let's go there. Missing meetings of the body. That's true. Speaking and acting without thinking. That's deep. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Sister, you know what? You know that you went to a territory that you shouldn't have gone to. Because when you said that, my family were just looking at me. They haven't been listening to what I'm saying. So, hey. Okay. Okay. Hey. Right. Sometimes. Okay, last one. Not being disciplined. You know what, guys? Let's be honest with ourselves. I know we all have habits in our lives. Habits that we need to change. And sometimes we can become resigned to changing those habits. I know that every single time I've got to be able to watch my own heart, watch my anger, watch my temper, watch getting impatient. I've got to watch those things, because sometimes these things can become habits, but they can become sinful habits. But the power is available for us. How much prayer do we put into attacking these habits? You know, for a long time, you understand what I'm saying? I found it it was a habit where I would eat and eat and eat, you understand? I just loved it. And I remember there was a time in Greenwich last year, this was in 9 months ago. I was in Greenwich with John. We were getting time together. Walked into Marks and Spencer. I was feeling hungry. And the first thing I wanted to do was get some hot cross buns. Got to be honest. And then John said, "Brother, that's wrong. Get yourself an apple." And to be honest, guys, I had an attitude. Because the apple wasn't really ringing my bell. Hey, guys, but it's a habit. But it takes discipline, do you understand? Because only God can do it. And I praise God, you understand, because, you know, the mind has got to change. You know, for you, it might be complaining, like what Jack said. It could be indiscipline. It could be different things in our lives. But you know what? Jesus has the power to change those habits. It might be timidity. It might be you're missing church, you're not as engaged. It might be, you know what you need to do, study the Bible. You know that you need to get restored. God can change those habits and give you the heart to become what you need to become. And you know what, guys? We're victorious. The victory has been done on the cross. That is the power of the resurrection. And so let us not be walking around the fellowship thinking, "I am nothing. God can't change me." Yes, God can change you. If He can change me, you don't want to know me when I was a non-Christian. If He can change me, He can change you. And all of us, in the eyes of God, we are worthy to be called His children. In closing, so you can get away for lunch. The resurrection is the central theme to Christianity. Isn't that right? Without no resurrection, we cannot call it Christianity. It's Christless. And you know, the resurrection must be true in our hearts if we are going to have a relationship with God. You know, Jesus raised from the dead to give us power to be forgiven from our sins. Do you feel forgiven this morning? Amen, Belinda. Do you feel forgiven this morning? The power to overcome sin, guys. Maybe there's some things niggling in our lives right here, but with Jesus, you can overcome it. I'm the resurrection and the life. The power to be conformed into Christ. Isn't it amazing that, you know, when you make change, people say, "You've changed a lot." And people, you know, because of Christ's power, rather than people rejoice with you, sometimes, they, you know what they do? They get all negative. "You've changed." Why? Because they get insecure. Changes brings about a lot of insecurity around people that you really love. So what about you this morning? Paul wants to know, are you tapped into the power of resurrection? What do you want more for your life this morning more than anything else? The power is available. Is it more money? Is it more fame? Influence? Power? What do you want? Because all these things, even though they are there, sometimes they can become worthless because they perish. Perhaps, what do you want in your life? A happy marriage? A good job? A satisfying job? But you know, Paul wants to call us something greater. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You know what? This morning, have you been trying to impress God with your religious activities? Because God is not impressed. Are you trying to impress him with your religion? Because God said, do you know me? The power of the resurrection. What are you putting before him? Job, family, ahead of your relationship with Jesus? Can you say like Paul, I've considered everything rubbish? Do you know the power of resurrection in your life this morning? I need resurrection in my life. You need some resurrection in your life. And today, as we think about Easter, it's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about the Easter, you know, Easter this, Easter that. It's about resurrection power in your life. Point number one, I am the resurrection and the life. Only one Jesus. Secondly, the power of the resurrection. You are powerful this morning. So let's go forth. Change yourselves, and let us go forth and change the world. Amen. Amen. Good. 41 minutes.
Amen. I do want to thank Toks for the message today. Just a powerful...